Hey everybody, welcome to episode 348 of the Running Rogue podcast. This is your host, Chris McClung, coming to you from Austin, Texas. My apologies if my voice is a little bit off this episode. It's been a high pollen week here in Austin, and so I'm getting my butt kicked with allergies this week, so my voice is a little bit funky, at least as it sounds to me. It may not sound that way to you, but if so, my apologies. I'm excited to get to this episode. We're going to be talking about some of the rational yet irrational fears that we face as runners. And so my hope for this episode is for you to feel seen. If you felt one of the things I'm going to talk about in this episode, it is normal. You're not alone. I face these fears too. And then we're going to talk about how you can overcome those fears or walk through them by thinking through the rational side of those fears and why they should not be a concern or fear. So we're going to talk about six different rational, irrational fears and how to work through those. But before we get there, first a couple notes before we start the show. First of all, today as I release this episode is International Women's Day, which I celebrate along with all of the women who listen to this show because of the women who inspire me to do what I do, including my rogue partner in crime and training director, Carolyn Mangold, my coach, Kathy Casey, who coaches Team Rogue here for us in Austin, my podcast partners in crime with the Nobody Asked Us podcast, Kara Goucher, of course, and Des Linden, and so many others. The list is longer than I can count. So happy International Women's Day to all. You inspire me. Also, before we jump in, I want to thank my sponsors for this episode, Run Jonji, Jonji Running Apparel, as well as Care Of and BetterHelp. All three help me do what I do, and I couldn't do it without them at this stage in my podcast journey. Before we jump in, I'll talk specifically about Run Jonji, and then I'll talk about the other two in the middle of the episode. But Jonji makes beautiful and functional running apparel. And this time I wanted to talk about their membership program. For a $25 one-time fee, you get 15% off for life, as well as early access to all of their collections, as well as a few other benefits. I'm a Jonji member. I get 15% off when I order, which is usually a little bit more than what they provide with the discount codes I provide. So it's a great way to level up your partnership with Jonji. So I would encourage you to check out their membership program. Go check it out at runjonji.com and get some of their latest spring apparel, which is just out now with some new designs. Again, their products are great, and 2% of all revenue goes to support water projects all around the world. So it's a win-win when you purchase from them. Go check it out. Okay, let's jump into this episode. We're going to talk about six rational, irrational fears that all of us face in some form or another and how to work through those. The first one is one that I've been facing a lot myself recently, coming off of racing in Houston, which is that you quickly feel like you're completely out of shape, and the rational, irrational fear after a peak race is, I'll never be in that shape again. I'll never be in that shape again. I'll never achieve that fitness I had right before I was peaking for that A race. That's what I'm feeling now, coming back, rebuilding post-Houston, and that's, I'm sure, what many of you have felt after a big race, because there is a natural point at which you come off of that peak, and then suddenly you went from feeling at the top of your game to suddenly feeling like you can't even hold those paces you did for a full marathon or half marathon for even one single mile. And again, that's exactly where I am right now. And so you have this rational, irrational fear that you'll never get back there ever again. So, one, again, if you're feeling this, you are not alone. I am with you right now as we go through this. But I also want to talk through why this is an irrational fear. The first reason is that it's a natural part of the peaking process, is that you're going to come off of that peak and you're going to feel out of shape. That is just the way it is. And in fact, it's an important part of the process for getting in and out of shape that will ultimately allow you to build back when you get back into training, when you get back to your consistency. It'll allow you to build back to a higher place. So we need that lull after a big day where the body has expended a lot of mental and physical energy to try to peak for a specific event. We need that lull to allow our body to reset itself, recoup, so that it can build back to a higher place. So there is a natural ebb and flow that's happening that you don't want to try to circumvent. We all want fitness to be linear, that we would build to a peak and we would keep going right through that and build then to another peak that's even higher. Well, that's not how it works. That's not how our body functions. We need that natural lull. We need to come off that fitness peak so that we can then rebuild to a higher place. So that's the first thing to recognize, is this detraining, this feeling of not having fitness, which is crazy how quickly it comes on, is a natural part of the ebb and flow of fitness building that is an important part of being able to build to a higher place. So one way to deal with this rational, irrational fear is to recognize and name it as a necessary part of getting to a higher goal down the road. It is a necessary step for your body to recover, to reset, so that you can build to a higher place. So that's one way to recognize that it is truly a rational fear, is that this is actually a rational part of the process to building to a higher goal down the road. The second way is to be very present in your process, to be very present in your process. And what I mean by that is you have to go back to the beginning. You have to go back to the first principles of fitness building and restart your process. We've talked about it before with periodization, this idea that in order to build to a certain peak, you have to sequence the work. You have what people might call a base phase or a priming phase to start. Then you go into a strength phase, which is all about building aerobic endurance. Then you go into a race-specific phase, which is about building race-specific fitness. Then you taper, then you race. That sequence is an important part of every cycle. And you went from being in the last phase of racing and tapering to now being back to the beginning, back to the basics, where you're again building base and building that priming phase so that you can then get through those other phases of fitness. So it's all about resetting your mind and saying, okay, I just peaked. I recovered from race day. Now I go back to stage one again, which is your base building and priming phase. And that means that you have to lean into the elements that are important in base building and priming, which becomes about establishing routine, building base volume, doing it mostly at easy efforts, sprinkling in a little bit of speed to start to get the body ready for speed work to come. And you want to be present in that phase again. So one, realize that this is an important part of the process to build higher fitness. Two, embed yourself in that process by going back to the early phases, going back to the beginning and putting on that new or renewed mindset of building base again, of priming the body again so that it can then go through those other stages. So that's exactly where I am right now. I am focused on rebuilding post-Houston, and that looks like for me rebuilding volume and gradually reintroducing speed. And I'm staying present in where I'm at right now, knowing that if I sequence the work beyond this, I will get back to where I want to go. And that's the way it works. That's the process you follow. And remember, when you're doing that, you're going to feel like the paces you could just run before your A race previously, you can somehow not touch anymore. And that is a reality, again, of that ebb and flow of fitness. Doesn't mean you're out of shape. Doesn't mean you'll never be in that shape again. It just means your body is in a recovery mode where it has reset itself and is now preparing to build that momentum again. Now, when doing this, it can be really hard to stay present with the process and not to let those fears and doubts creep in, because suddenly you feel like you're out of shape, even though it is, again, a part of the process. So one of the things I like to do is really go back to first principles and think about during this period how I'm going to be adding layers to the equation during this base and priming phase in order to ultimately get back to a higher place. So this kind of brings in the topics I mentioned in last week's episode about opportunity areas, where you can challenge yourself by identifying those one, two, maybe three things that you're going to incorporate differently this time in the process in order to build to that higher place. And focus that energy into those new elements so you can layer in additional elements to try to win, to try to get to a higher place in your training with this cycle. For me, that looks like building to a point where I'm at a higher volume during this base phase, this period of my training, that will allow me to unlock potential down the road. I'm also up in the ante relative to my strength training at the moment to work on some heavier weights, some more power-oriented moves, things I can't necessarily do in heavy training with the running because it's taking too much of my energy, but I can do in a base period because I can reallocate some energy towards those heavier weights, towards those more power-oriented moves, which will also layer in an additional foundation that I can build upon as I go. And the nice thing for me at this stage in my strength journey, having now worked with my trainer for, it'll be 2 years in June, is that I'm able to actually take some steps there that I haven't been able to take in the past. And so instead of focusing on feeling out of shape or losing fitness, I'm instead focusing on these new elements that I'm introducing to the equation in order to recognize and know that there's more to come down the road. So for me, that's volume as I'm building it now. Even though I'm not at higher volume levels, that's the trajectory, that's the plan I'm on as I go through this base period, and I'm able to refocus my energy on that as well as new things in my strength journey. So that's how I'm getting through this rational, irrational fear of never being in that shape again, is simply focusing on the things that I can do, the things that I'm building on, the things that I'm working towards so that I can unlock bigger things down the road. So that's number one. Rational, irrational fear is that I'll never be in that shape again. Some of you may be there with me right now. Number two, if I train for a different distance, then I'll forget how to race my main distance. Number two, if I train for a different distance, then I'll forget how to race my main distance. I hear this one a lot from my marathon friends out there, but it can be with those that might be half marathoners as well, where I'll talk to them about the importance, as I mentioned in last week's episode, of mixing up your distances, of making sure that you're not just training for a marathon after a marathon, but instead you're working in different things, speed, half marathon, other distances. But when I talk to people about that, they'll have this rational, irrational fear that if they focus any time away from their main distance, perhaps the marathon, that they'll forget how to run the marathon or that they'll somehow not be as good when they come back to it. And that is an understandable but irrational fear. And so those of you who listened to last week's episode and may have thought, hey, he's onto something here when he's talking to me about running different distances or training for different distances. But then this irrational, rational fear kicks in where you think, oh man, if I get away from it, I'm going to somehow lose it. And so let's break this one down. First of all, there's the rational thought process that it's so important to become well-rounded as a runner. So important to be well-rounded as a runner and to not get focused on one distance exclusively. When we get focused on one distance exclusively, then we become one-dimensional and we will plateau in that distance, because you have to be flexing your muscles at other distances in order to improve really at all distances. Because as I've said before, the faster you can run a 5K, the faster you can run a half marathon. The faster you can run a 5K, the faster you can run a marathon. The faster you can run a half marathon, the faster you can run a marathon. The faster you can run a marathon, that volume will help you when you go to the shorter distances as well, if marathoning is something you've included in your training. So all of it works together. All of it works together to make you better at all distances. And the other part of this is this thing that I like to talk about, which is this idea that you can train for a marathon without actually doing a marathon. And in fact, there is great magic in that idea. You can train for a marathon without actually doing a marathon. You can train for a half marathon without actually doing a half marathon. Well, what does that look like? It looks like training for these other distances, but doing it in a way that keeps your volume elevated, so that you're always ready to move back to the marathon or move back to longer distance races when you're ready. So that looks like when you're doing 5K or 10K training, incorporating 12 to 14, maybe even 16 mile long runs, because those will help give you that aerobic foundation for a 5K and 10K race, because the stronger you are aerobically, the better you can hold those 5K and 10K paces for those distances. But also it keeps you really connected to the longer stuff so that when you do go back to doing 18 or 20 mile long runs, you're not that far away from it. Same thing with half marathon training. If you're always doing up to potentially 16 or 18 miles for half marathon training, which is something I might recommend, then again, you're only one step away to going to 20 or 22 for marathon training. And all of that works together. Plus, as a part of that, you're building in medium long runs, regardless of the distance you're training for, so that you're always building that aerobic foundation that's going to help you at all distances. That'll make you an aerobic monster. That aerobic foundation that stays consistent throughout, regardless of what race you're specifically training for. Those medium long runs, those consistent days of the week, 5 or 6 days a week. The consistent long run, which may not always be up to 20 or 22 in marathon training, but never gets that far away from 14 to 16 miles. Again, regardless of the distance you're training for, that aerobic foundation is really the magic that helps unlock potential at all distances. And then, of course, you're tailoring your speed workouts and your long run workouts to focus on the distance you might be training for in the moment. The other part of this is that if you're learning to suffer at those different distances, it gives you a mental edge that you can carry to other distances as well. The 5K and 10K is a really hard distance, or those are two really hard distances to conquer from a mental perspective. 5K feels like so much pain in such a short window that often us marathoners can't really fathom it or are afraid of it. But if you can master 5K pain by giving yourself more attempts at that distance, it's going to give you mental strength that you can carry then to a half marathon or a marathon. The 10K, it's a distance that requires a lot of mental focus. In many ways, I think it's the toughest distance to execute well. At least it was for me when I was early in my journey doing 10K distances. I would always lose focus in miles 4 and 5, for example, before the final push home. And I might fall off the pace in those couple of miles because I was already hurting and would lose a little bit of focus. And suddenly, you know, you've lost 10 or 15 seconds per mile and you can't make it up in the last mile with a kick home. So that focus, that ability to execute a 10K well, I think has helped me maintain pace at all distances when I'm suffering, when I'm struggling. Same with the half. It has great carryover to other distances because if you can run a good half, that means you're really good at being right on the line, but being able to find relaxation or find efficiency when you're right at that edge and you're able to hold that for longer periods of time. So being able to be relaxed and smooth and efficient at a high-end pace that it takes to master half marathon is something that really carries over to the marathon, for example, and really carries down to the other distances as well. And then, of course, the marathon, the ultimate distance for suffering when you're riding the edge. It's that long grinding pain that you learn how to manage and that ability to fight off your demons late in a race that can, again, carry into all distances as well. So you're not only building physical strength and acuity by working all distances in training, but you're also building mental strength and acuity that you can carry to all distances if you're giving yourself that variety. So it's not about what am I missing by not training for my main distance all the time. It's more about what am I gaining that's going to allow me to execute that main distance even better when I get back to it. So that's how I would encourage you to frame your thoughts around this fear. What am I gaining by focusing on these other distances? You're building your toolkit so that you have a more robust mental and physical toolkit that's only going to allow you to be stronger when you do go back to your main distance. So it's not about what am I missing, what am I losing by not focusing there for a period of time. It's more about what am I gaining. It's going to give me an advantage and an edge when I go back to it. the other part of this rational, irrational fear is the fear of the time gap. That somehow if you spend a year or 2 years away from your main distance, that you'll lose practice and not be able to execute. When it comes down to racing that distance again, and I can tell you from personal experience as someone who's taken a break from the marathon for periods of time or hasn't done a half in periods of time, it's like riding a bike in many ways. If you're constantly training, regardless of the distance you're training for, you don't lose experience. You don't forget how to execute. Again, you gain things. You gain things that will allow you to execute better. And even though there might be a gap, you can always come back to it strong and do well. I've seen it countless times in my own racing and training. I've seen it countless times in the athletes that I've coached. So don't worry about that gap. Again, don't worry about what you're missing or losing. Focus on what you're gaining. And that's the way to overcome this rational, irrational fear. Okay, that's number two. If I train for a different distance, then I'll forget how to race my main distance. Before we get to number three, I want to talk about my sponsorship with Care Of. They've been a partner of mine for over 2 years now. They are a vitamin and supplement subscription service that gets you what you need to perform on a monthly basis, so you don't have to think about it. It's really easy to sign up. You just go take a short, simple quiz about your lifestyle and health goals, and they'll give you a list of doctor-backed recommendations that you can add to your subscription packs based on those goals. You can also add other things that you already know you need once you get to that stage in the process. And then they'll send you those individual daily packs, and you just take them every day, and you don't have to think about it. I use it myself for vitamin D, for my multivitamin, for ashwagandha, for recovery, as well as I use their protein powders. And they now also have their best-selling vitamins available in bottles. So if you're not ready to subscribe to the monthly packs, you can simply buy the bottles and go that route. So I would encourage you to go check out Care Of. For 50% off your first Care Of subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter the code ROGUE50. That's ROGUE50 for 50% off. Again, that's takecareof.com. Use the code ROGUE50 for 50% off that first order. Go check it out. Okay, let's get to number three on my rational and irrational fears list. Number three is, this comes when you're injured and you'll have this irrational and irrational fear, which is I'll never be healthy again. I'll never be healthy again. This one's tough because I understand that place. It's kind of like I feel a little bit this week when I'm having these allergy issues and having some sinus congestion, and you're feeling run down and tired and sneezing a lot. And or anytime you're sick, you think, man, I can't even imagine that I'll feel good again when you're in the throes of whatever you might be feeling. And I think that can be absolutely true when you're facing injury. You think, I'll never be healthy again. I'll never be able to perform at the level or do the activity level that I did previously because of this injury. Been there for sure myself, facing the major injuries I've faced, including a couple of stress fractures, some nerve injuries, things that have kept me out for long periods of time. And I get it. You're in that place. You're not doing the activity that you love. And you think, man, I'll never be what I want to be again. I'll never get back there. And there's no greater inspiration for me in this sport than those who face down this fear, do the work patiently to get through their injury, and then come back and have a big result on the other side. I've seen it happen countless times. And so what I would encourage with this fear is to think about a couple of things. The first thing is that injuries are often blessings in disguise. Injuries are often blessings in disguise. And what do I mean by that? An injury, it reveals something. It shows you a weakness that likely would have been a problem for you at some point that has now manifested itself. And it becomes an opportunity, if you manage that injury well, to work through a weakness so that it doesn't become an issue again down the road. So it allows you to reveal that weakness and then come back stronger from it, which typically allows you to be more resilient on the other side from a injury prevention standpoint. And often on top of that, it gives you a performance advantage as well, because you're having to work on strength perhaps mobility, things that were limitations or weaknesses for you that you can incorporate going forward so that you turn that into performance, turn that into action-oriented performance. I've seen it happen countless times. You've revealed a weakness via the injury, and you learn to manage it using strength, mobility, whatever it may be, to work through that injury, and then you come back stronger on the other side. Oftentimes, if somebody has knee pain, for example, and maybe that's a traditional diagnosis like runner's knee, that reveals a weakness or a lack of activation in the glutes that's causing that knee to collapse in while they're running. And by dealing with that issue, making the glutes stronger, making sure they're awake and alive, that's going to help you not only prevent that knee injury going forward, but also be stronger and faster because those glutes are firing and activating in a way in your stride that's going to help you run at even faster paces. So that's one thing. Injuries are often blessings in disguise because they allow you to come back stronger. So while you're facing down this rational, irrational fear, I want you to be thinking about the athlete you're going to become because of this challenge, because of this injury. And obviously there's the physical elements that I talked about, but there's also the mental elements of being resilient, that you're being tested and you're having to work through it. Now, obviously there's frustration when you're building that process back because, again, you'll feel like, just like my fear number one, you've lost fitness. You're not going to be able to ever be back to where you were again. But if you stay patient, you work through the recovery process, then you'll be able to not only perform better, but also hopefully prevent that injury down the road because you'll now have a routine that you can do to make sure you avoid that injury going forward. So there's power that comes from injury that allows you to be stronger on the other side. The other thing I encourage people to do when you're facing injury is look to the inspiration of others, because there's any group that you're involved in, any runners that you know, there's countless examples of people that have overcome perhaps the same injury, perhaps a different injury, maybe a similar timeline away, that have been able to work through it and come back stronger. And as I mentioned, that is probably the most inspiring type of journey in our sport, is somebody who has a major injury, who's able to work through it, build back patiently, and get to a faster place on the other side. There's countless examples. If you need one, I can give you one, but I would just encourage you to look around in your community and see who can be inspiring to you that's been on that same pathway, because there will be countless examples. And you'll see not only that they had a gap just like you're having, but also they worked through it patiently. They built back slowly, and ultimately through focusing on the process, they were able to build back to a higher place and ultimately smash goals again. So you'll see those examples all around you, and I would encourage you to look to those as a way to say, hey, I can do that too. If that person can do it, I can do that too. And that's where the real magic is in this opportunity to inspire each other through these types of challenges, through these types of journeys. Now, of course, when you're in it, it may be hard to always be reflecting on those things, but I encourage you to really develop a two-sided mindset when you're in these types of places. On one side of it, you're very focused on being present. You ask yourself each day, what do I need to do today in order to take that next small step forward? And that might include some rehab, that might include some very basic cross training, that might include, even as you get back into it, a little bit of running. But ask yourself, what do I need to do today to take that next small step forward? And do that every single day, because little steps become bigger ones that eventually allow you to get back to where you want to go. The other mindset, the other half of that, is to continue to dream. Don't stay there all the time, but continue to dream. You want to also nourish and support that mindset of the possible. Dream about what your goals might still be. Picture yourself achieving them, and then go right back to the other mindset of, what do I need to do? What's the next step on this day to take towards that bigger goal? So you want to have this sort of bimodal distribution of thought. One, keep those dreams alive, but don't hang out there too long. Then get back to the present and ask yourself, okay, what do I need to do today to take that next small step? You keep doing that day after day, and eventually you'll get to those dreams, but don't stop dreaming. It's one way I deal with it myself when I'm in that place. Okay, that's irrational fear number three. I'll never be healthy again. Yes, you will, and you'll be stronger again because of this pathway, this journey through injury that you've taken. Number four, going slow on my easy days will make me slower. Going slower on my easy days will make me slower. This is a very relevant, rational, irrational fear that I hear all the time. People afraid that somehow slowing down on their easy days will make them slower overall, and it's just not true. In fact, I would first encourage you, if that's your irrational fear, to go to episode 306 of my podcast, perhaps put that on repeat on your playlist so that you can constantly be reminded of the reasons that we go slow. But let me also paint some other thoughts for you here, because I want to make sure that you understand the reasons for going slow and how that will unlock potential in the future. One of the reasons is because it allows you to build a massive aerobic foundation while doing it at low intensities so that you can run even more volume. In order to unlock the ability to do more volume, you have to run slow. If you run too fast all the time, it puts too much stress on the system and you won't be able to run as much. But if you slow down, you can run more. So then we'll create a bigger aerobic foundation, which will unlock your ability to go faster. It also means that in the near term, you'll be able to go faster on speed workout days because you're balancing and moderating those easy days. Absolutely critical that it all works together, and you do that by slowing down most of the time so that you can go fast when it matters. Again, episode 306 talks through some of the science of that and some of the reasons behind that, but it's a fundamental principle that's absolutely critical. And so instead of worrying that you're going to get slower by slowing down, I want you to instead constantly focus on this idea that actually going slower will make you faster. Got to go slow to go fast. It's a fundamental part of training and the philosophy to get faster. The sooner you embrace it, the more you'll see it. And just like I said with the injury question, you can also look at the examples of others. I've got countless in my community that once they really embrace this principle, it suddenly unlocks major potential in them. And that's another way to think about it. The other framing I want you to think about for those that tell me I can't go that slow or it's making me slower somehow by running at slow paces, I want you to think about this idea, which is an idea that I fundamentally believe in. Your ability to be smooth and efficient at all paces helps you be smoother and more efficient at all other paces. So by slowing down and becoming efficient at those paces when it feels uncomfortable, when it feels like you're plodding, when you initially start, it actually helps you unlock efficiency at faster paces as well. I can run any pace. Well, with maybe the exception, world record marathon pace. I can't run those faster paces anymore, at least. But I can run any pace from 5-minute pace to 16-minute mile pace and everything in between, and I can do it and feel comfortable at all of those paces. I can do an easy jog with anybody and feel smooth and comfortable and not feel like I'm plodding. And I really, really believe that that ability to have adapted to all paces and to be able to be comfortable at all paces has helped unlock efficiency when I do want to run those faster paces. So when you're thinking about this idea that going slower is going to make me slower, instead, I want you to think, reframe that as going slower and being efficient at slower paces will actually also make me more efficient at faster paces. Again, a little bit counterintuitive, but I can speak to it from personal example, and it is absolutely a magical concept if you embrace it. Now, with all that being said, I'm still going to have naysayers. You're going to doubt it. Who aren't going to be able to recognize that this is a true fact of getting faster, is that you have to embrace the idea of going slower most of the time. There's still going to be people that doubt every single time I introduce people to these training principles because, again, they seem counterintuitive. they will question it and they'll wonder if I'm crazy. And so I would just encourage you to give yourself a window of time to try it and see what happens. Just try it and see what happens. It will unlock things in you that you never thought possible if you truly, truly embrace it. And I'm not talking about embracing it for a month or 2 months. I'm talking about embracing it for a 6 month period. Give yourself a whole cycle while you're embracing these principles and let's just see what happens as a part of it. Now, again, this doesn't mean that you're going slow all the time because you're still incorporating strides. You're still incorporating speed work as a part of the process. But you're polarizing your training. So your easy runs are truly easy. Your faster runs are at the right prescribed paces. All of that mixed together is where the magic sits if you embrace it appropriately. So just try it. Try it for 6 months. Really commit to it. Think, not only I will slow down on my easy runs, but think I'm actually going to slow down to the extreme on my easy runs. And then come back and tell me after 6 months what the results are. And I promise you, you're going to be able to do things you never thought possible. Okay, that's number four. Before we get to number five, I want to talk about my other sponsor for this episode, BetterHelp. They are the largest online therapy provider, and they can help you too. It's interesting, as I get older in my life, this idea, especially losing my father-in-law, of thinking about how do I want to spend my time as I age? And we're always thinking about that. We're always thinking, how can I prioritize my time? How can I focus it on the things that matter? What if I don't have that much time in life? How do I want to spend it so that I can maximize it? Or perhaps, what if I live into old age? What do I want that to look like? And as we ask those questions, it causes a lot of introspection and causes you to really prioritize what matters most, but it can be hard. And therapy can help with that, help you figure out what matters to you most while processing perhaps a big or small challenge in your life, something that has disrupted your world. And it's something I've sought out therapy for in losing a friend of mine back in 2019. And as I've learned to be a better parent in the last several years. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, I would suggest that you give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time with no additional charge. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/runningrogue today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/runningrogue. 10% off that first month. Go check it out. Okay, let's get to number five here on my list of rational and irrational fears. Number five is, there's no way I could do that for the full race. There's no way I could run that pace for the full race. This is one I'm getting a lot of right now as we're in the throes of race-specific training for several spring races, one of those being the Boston Marathon coming up, where we might be doing long run workouts, where you might be holding marathon pace for a segment of that long run. And then the natural question is, well, how, if I can only do that for 6 miles in a long run, how could I hold that for 26.2 miles? Or if I'm doing repeats at half marathon pace in a workout, how could I hold that for a full half marathon when the time comes? This is a question that I get a lot, where everybody wants to prove to themselves that they can run the full distance of whatever they're targeting at that target pace before they actually get to race day. They're looking for that proof before they get to actual race day. And I get it. It's a tough one. It's a tough leap to make to say, well, I can do a long run and I can run 6 or 8 miles at marathon pace. How can I go from that to being able to hold that for the full distance on race day, regardless of what distance you might be training for? And so I want to plant a couple of seeds along the way for this. The first is this idea that it takes more than just running that pace to be ready and competent to run that pace for the full race. And this is where I like this idea of a puzzle analogy. If you think about running on race day and getting the goal that you want to achieve, it's like a picture in a puzzle. And to create that puzzle. And to complete that puzzle, you actually need to assemble all the pieces. And you need to assemble them in a certain way with a certain methodology and do it in a certain order in order to get that puzzle completed so that you can see the full picture. If that full picture is achieving your goal, if you look at those individual pieces after you dump the box out, you can't really tell what the whole picture looks like. If you look at an individual piece, you may not even be able to tell what are some of the components of the overall puzzle. And yet that's exactly what you're doing when you're building fitness, is you're putting together these smaller pieces that by themselves don't create a complete picture, but you're putting them together in a holistic way in order to complete a full picture that will allow you to perform on race day the way you want. And what are those puzzle pieces? They can't all look the same, by the way. Those puzzle pieces are all unique. If they all looked the same, then you wouldn't actually be able to put together that full picture, that full puzzle. And the same is true in our training. You need to have your easy recovery runs. You need to have your easy, medium, long runs. You need to have your easy long runs. You need to have your long runs with workouts. You need to have your workouts. And all of those workouts are going to vary in their type and purpose as you progress through the journey in order to make sure that you have all of the pieces of the aerobic toolkit in order to prepare for the big day. There's also mental components of the puzzle building, and there are pieces there that you need to assemble, and that can be accomplished in different ways. And there's also a nutrition and hydration element that comes to play that you need to practice, and your body needs to practice processing those things metabolically, which need to do in different circumstances. And so we're assembling this puzzle, and we need all these unique pieces in order to be able to put it all together on one day in a way that completes that picture. And that wouldn't work if you were doing all the same thing. And so if you think about fitness building, is it takes a lot of different pieces of the puzzle. And every time you do a unique task, or do a unique run with a unique purpose, that is a part of building that puzzle. And it's not your ability to run 3 miles in a long run at marathon pace or at half marathon pace. That is a piece of the puzzle, but it's not the entire puzzle. And you need to have many, many more complementary pieces in order to complete that picture. So that's an analogy that I like to paint for people when they're thinking about, how am I going to do this on race day? Well, you're going to do it on race day because you've building and putting together all of those pieces, not just the ones associated with running race pace for specific elements of time. So that's one way to think about it. The other way I encourage people to overcome this irrational fear is, instead of focusing on the things that you don't know, I encourage you to focus on the things that you do know. Instead of focusing on the things you don't know, focus on the things you do know. And you don't know if you can run a distance at a pace you've never run before. If you're trying to run a PR, you're trying to break a certain goal, you can't know whether that's possible before the day happens. You can't know. But what you can know is the work that you've done to get there, and also that you can run 1 mile at your target pace. And by the way, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know if you can run 26 or 13 or 6 or 3 miles at your target pace. You don't need to know that, but you do need to know if you can do one. And most of the time, if you've done all the work and training, you know you can do one, and then that's what you do. You go do that race 1 mile at a time. The end of the race will take care of itself. If you put all the pieces together in the puzzle, then you'll be able to execute on race day, and you do it 1 mile at a time. That's all you can do. So focus there. I like to say, in a marathon or half, you can't run those races all at once. You can't. Mile 21 of the marathon or mile 11 of the half doesn't matter at mile one. It doesn't matter. What matters is, can you settle into a rhythm at your target pace, executing your plan in mile one? And then can you do it in mile two, and then three, and then four? Don't worry about what the end will hold. If you've built the puzzle, if you put all the pieces together, trust the process, then you'll be able to execute at the end. So again, instead of focusing on the things that you can't know and don't know, focus on the things that you do know and put your blinders on and crowd out all the other doubts. If you do that and take it 1 mile at a time, you'll get there. The other thing, of course, you can do is you can look to the inspiration of others in this realm and say, hey, if that person can do it and they follow the same training plan, they got their goal using this approach, then I can do it too. Don't hesitate, just like I mentioned with some of the other elements, to look to the inspiration of others. Okay, that's number five. There's no way I can do that for the full race if I'm only doing segments of it in training. Number six, X goal isn't possible for me. X goal isn't possible for me. I hear this all the time, especially those that are newer to the sport. Most of the time, people can't dream big enough. And I get it. If you don't have a reference point, if you don't know what's possible because you haven't done it before, then it's hard to believe. It's hard to develop that belief, and it's easy to have the doubts or to think there's no way I can do X or Y or Z. And so I see this challenge for people all the time, where there's a line out there that they think that they can't cross or they can't get to. It's okay. It's normal. So first thing here is to just recognize that you're not alone in having those doubts. Every single person listening, there's probably a threshold beyond which they think there's no way I can get there on my own. And most of us can't do it on our own. We need help. So I would encourage you first to find somebody who does know, who can speak truth into your life about what might be possible for you, who can educate you about what might be possible for you from whatever your starting point might be. I think one of my greatest responsibilities as a coach is to do that for people, is to help them see what's possible, because I have a history and a track record in this sport of seeing people start from zero and build to do amazing things, build to smash their potential, smash the ideas of what they had thought was possible before they got involved with me, and to show them that there's even greater horizons to achieve. That is probably my greatest responsibility as a coach, and one that I take very seriously. So you need to find somebody who can speak that kind of truth to you about what's possible. And it might be a coach, it might be a friend, it might be a neighbor, a family member, somebody who's been involved in the sport who can tell you about their journey and relate it to yours and show you that you can do things you never perhaps dreamed of. And that's absolutely critical. The other thing for you to know here is that regardless of your starting point, you are worthy of big goals. You are worthy of big goals. I get so frustrated sometimes in this sport where we seem to think that there's, or project that there's, a category of people that shouldn't have big goals, that shouldn't have access to the training principles that I talk about, that shouldn't be able to dream like I'm telling you to dream. But if you're listening to this podcast, if you're following the processes that I talk about, if you're doing the work, whatever your starting point is, you are worthy of big goals. And those big goals are couched in your starting point, your potential, but that's okay. I just want you to know that you are okay to dream about them. You are okay to go after them, and you are worthy of the support of somebody like me to help you get there. I'm so passionate about that idea, and you need to embrace it. And so when you have those doubts about what's possible for you, just know that you're worthy of dreaming big, and most people can't dream big enough for themselves. So dream as big as you can, and then start to take steps towards those goals. Because even if you don't know what's possible, you can still dream as big as you can, and then you can embed yourself in the process, start taking steps towards those goals. And when you do that, magic happens. The other thing I would encourage you to do, if this is a doubt and irrational fear of yours, I would encourage you to surround yourself with positive affirmations that helps reinforce this idea that it is possible. Because part of what we have to do is we have to reprogram our brain. Most of us, it's easy for us to tell ourselves constantly that we can't do something. And so you want to build the belief and drown out that can't mindset by building the belief that you can and surround yourself with positive affirmations. Put your goal somewhere prominent. Put it everywhere. Put it on your dash. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Change your password to represent what that goal represents. And if you constantly give yourself those little reminders that it's possible and you pair that with the process and the work, then it starts to change this fear, this doubt into belief. And there's so much magic in belief. So don't neglect the power and magic of reinforcing the positive. And that's not to say the devil won't ever be on your shoulder and say you can't. It will be there. That won't necessarily go away completely, but it will get a smaller and smaller voice while you're giving a bigger and bigger voice to that message of belief. So don't neglect that work. And then go do it. Go do the work. Embed yourself in the process. And before you know it, and I've seen it countless times, you'll start chipping away. And you'll start to do things you never thought possible. And then eventually you'll smash that goal and you'll start dreaming even bigger. If you're consistent with the work, I've seen it happen countless times. You're worthy of it. And with the work, you will achieve it. So believe. That's number 6. So as we recap, I hope everybody listening perhaps saw something familiar in this episode that they've struggled with at times. You might be that person who thought, I'll never be in that shape again after coming down off of a peak race. Well, you absolutely can be that person again, and you'll be a greater person again. You might be that person who said, if I train for a different distance, then I might forget how to race my main distance. Instead, I want you to reframe that to, if I train for a different distance, I'm going to develop skills that are going to help me be even better at my main distance. You might also have had that fear through injury of, I'll never be healthy again. Then that's when you want to embed yourself in that present and daily process of taking that next small step, recognizing that you'll be stronger on the other side. You might also be that person who has doubted whether going slow would actually make you slower versus faster. And instead of living in that doubt, I want you to recognize and realize the power and magic of the fast that will get unlocked by going slow. You could also be that person who said, there's no way I can do a certain pace for a full race, having only done segments in training. But I want you to think about all the little pieces you're building in order to build a more complete and a more powerful total picture that will allow you to take that one puzzle piece and amplify it to be able to achieve your goal for the full 13 miles or 26. And then finally, you might be that person who has thought a certain goal might never be possible for you, but I'm here to say you're worthy of it and you can do it if you embed yourself in the work. Hopefully this episode has made you feel not so alone in some of your own doubts and fears and has unlocked and unleashed a beast in you to go face those fears and knock them down on your way to reaching a bigger goal. We'll wrap this episode here. As always, you can check us out at roguerunning.com or follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Rogue Running. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon.